We're going to be coming from Hebrews chapter 11 again. We're going to continue on with that. We'll start at verse 6 this time and just continue on. Since we got a pretty good understanding of what faith is from Yah's perspective, and then we'll move on. Now, I'll pray a little bit. So, Father Yah, we glorify you and we bless you as we enter into another lesson of training school. We seek wisdom and understanding, and we just thank you for being in the midst of us to do so. And we just bless you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. All right. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to Yah must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Then it starts to give these examples of or continue on with the examples of faith, of people who operated in faith. And we'll see things that's associated with them. And so I think one of the valid points that we made on last week, in order for us to continue on this week, we have to understand that faith has to do with what Yah said. If you remember what Elder said on last week, the scripture that he used in reference to this topic, whereby Yah sees or everything is determined all the way to the end from the beginning, when we see him do all the things that he did in Genesis chapter 1, during these time frames, Yah in his eternal wisdom had decreed things to take place, you know, from that very beginning. So as we look at these different examples, we will see that these people were classified as those who walk by faith or live by faith. They were moved with conviction because they know, or they knew, that the eternal Most High Yah was the one who had decreed these things. So as we look at Noah, when Yah warns Noah of something, Noah has a relationship with Yah, or the understanding that if Yah decreed something to take place, although it had never rained before, that he was going to do just that. And so Noah moved with fear. As we look at verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of Yah of the things not seen as yet," meaning that it had never rained before. And since it had never rained before, Noah being warned of it in the video thing. Sure, can y'all see it?
I can't.
Okay.
I just want to make sure because we're going to communicate.
So as you look at it here, where Noah being warned, not having seen rain yet, and he moved with fear because Yah said that it was going to told him to build an ark because of what he was going to do concerning mankind. And so, again, verse 10 says, By faith Noah, being warned of Yah, of faith not yet seen as yet, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, God to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And so we become heir of righteousness by faith, by putting our complete trust in Yah and moving in the direction that he leads us. That's how we are. Determined or decreed as the righteousness of Yah when we reverence Him and that's what fear means, when we basically reverence Him and move based upon how he's leading us. Okay. Now, verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. He wasn't concerned about the end result. He wasn't concerned about, you know, ahead of time. You know, you get most people, they want to trust Yah, but they want to trust Yah based upon him revealing every process by which he wants them to move, instead of just obeying the fact that Yah just said move, you know. When he decrees that we should do a certain thing, we just do it, and we don't need to know or have to know the outcome of a circumstance to know that everything is going to be okay. Because when Yah decree that we do something, then He is the one now who is responsible for making sure that He meet every need according to how He has led us to move. So, Abraham, now by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, now he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country. Because if you look at verse 8, he goes out not knowing where he went, but you look at verse 9, he's in that place. He's in the land of promise, but then he still considered himself as a stranger in the country. Okay, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob. Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. This is why it explains Abraham's mindset. Verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is Yah. In other words, Abraham had so much faith that he was looking for the eternal kingdom that he was going to live in that future city that is coming down to earth, New Jerusalem. Abraham had so much faith in Yah that even though he was in the land of promise, he considered himself a stranger, because his mindset was so much that he trusted Yah that he was very much looking forward to the kingdom being the city where it had no foundation. And so it's vitally important that we understand, you know, that's how he operated here. Just give me a minute. And so as we look at it here, that's where it's referring to when he said, verse 10, though he looked for a city which foundation, whose builder and maker is Yah. And that's what that's referring to. And as a matter of fact, we can go there and just kind of look. Just kind of look at that eternal kingdom or city. Revelations 21, verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and new earth, Revelation 21, verse 1 said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Verse 2 said, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yah out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And so when you look at this, it points out that it makes it clear that the church is not the bride of Christ. New Jerusalem is classified as that. The adornment or the, if you want to call it just for a sake of understanding, the clothing of this city is the saints itself. And when you continue on, you can see these different things in Scripture. So when you see this New Jerusalem, this is the city that is going to come down out of heaven and dwell among men, you can see verse 3, it points out that when this city comes down out of heaven, that Yah himself will live among men, as well as Christ himself. And so that's why I tell people all the time, or you know, get them to understand from a perspective of scriptures that, okay, New Jerusalem is the place where Yah and mankind are going to dwell, going to dwell together. You know, so it's just vitally important for us to for us to understand these, you know, these things. So, verse 3 again, it says, well, verse 2 it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yah." Make sure you put the phone on you. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yah out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so, again, this is the city that Abraham in Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned," verse 9, "in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Verse 10, "For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is Yah." That this is the place. This is the place that our father Abraham had so much faith in Yah that he was looking forward to that city, to the point where he didn't care about the material world. He didn't even care about dwelling in places. That's why he lived in tents and things like that. Although he was the heir of the whole land or the whole promised land, he didn't care. His mindset was so kingdom that his faith was in Yah, and he was looking forward to that New Jerusalem, living in that city, to the point that he's like, "I ain't going to waste my time trying to fill up this place." You know, he's living in tents. And so that shows, that just shows how awesome, our father Abraham was from a perspective of faith in Yah. All right? And so, again, that's why we look at verse 21 from that perspective. And when you look at the description of this this holy city, I mean, it is awesome when you read about it, especially in Revelation chapter 21, and then you go into chapter 22. It's just awesome to read about it and see how this city is. Most people talk about the streets were the streets are made of gold. The gold is so pure to the point to where it looked like transparent glass. Well, when you read the scripture, the whole city looks the same way. So the streets is pure gold, and the city itself is pure gold. Okay, and the city itself is pure gold to the point where it looks like transparent glass. So you look at the streets as well as the city that looks like that. And then when you look at all the foundations, all the precious jewels that, you know, that people value here on earth, those are the foundations whereby that city is built on. You're looking at layers of the foundation of that city made with, different precious materials and things like that. That New Jerusalem is going to be an awesome place to live in. There is no place here on earth that can come even close to compare. If you think about the most beautiful building or house or place that you've ever seen, comes nowhere even close to the imagination of what the holy city of New Jerusalem is like. This is something that has been prepared by God to the point to where each gate is a pearl. The whole gate is a pearl. So it just shows you the value of the place. If you could even try to think about putting the value on it, it's priceless, you know. I'm just trying to give you something to wrap your mind around. So, but that's the place where our father Abraham looked forward to the point where he was like, man, I don't need to build nothing. I live out in these tents. It's something a whole lot better for me in the future, you know. Verse 11. I'll say at verse 10, I want to deal with the word look for. He was awake. So when it says look for, it doesn't mean that he was out looking for the place. It just says he knew, he understood the things of the kingdom to the point he was like, I'll just wait. I ain't going to waste my time building nothing. You know, I live out in these tents. I'm waiting on this other city that I'm going to dwell in. Now we understand when our Savior said, I go away and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. That's what it's referring to. Mansions are dwelling places. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to have their own individual mansion in heaven. It means dwelling places in the New Jerusalem. Okay? And so that's what Christ is saying when he said, that where I am, you may be also. That's coming down. So we'll be in that holy city with our Savior and Yah himself. Okay. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 11 says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. In other words, Sarah couldn't have any children. But yet, because Yah spoke it, although she laughed within herself when he first spoke it, she was so overwhelmed with it. And she judged that Yah was faithful who had promised. When Yah decrees something, his word is going to be exactly the way that he said it's going to be. So that's why we hold on to what he said, say no matter what. Regardless of how it looks, you know, the circumstances look very dim. It doesn't matter. If Yah decreed that a certain thing is going to happen, if he spoke some things to you, if he spoke some things through his word, everything is going to be exactly the way Yah said that it's going to be. So we can look forward to that. All we have to do now is walk by faith now. Live by faith. Okay? Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Because she judged Yah faithful who had promised, she received the strength. Her internal organs, all these things were not functioning because of her age. Yet she had a child because Yah said that's what was going to take place. Okay. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Now, when you look at that, you can't now come to the conclusion that, okay, these all died, never receiving none. No, Sarah had Isaac. Sarah had Isaac. Noah built the ark. And it rained. So when you read that verse, you don't look at it and say, oh man, these all died, never receiving these all died in faith, not having received the promise. but haven't seen them before all. And so what you have to understand is when Yah spoke to each one of them at the time, okay, they died in faith based upon everything that had happened with them from a perspective of what Yah said. So you have to expand your mind to see the big picture. In other words, when Yah told Sarah, you're going to have a son, Sarah didn't see it. She didn't see it, but yet she believed. That's what it's saying. Noah, when Yah said it's going to rain, Noah built an ark. Noah didn't see rain, but he built the ark. And so it just included all together and said, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. In other words, they were committed in their faith walk with Yah, knowing that exactly what he said was going to take place, even to the point to where all the way up into the time frame where they died, not having received the fullness of the promise, what was the promise about? You go back now, because this whole Hebrews is about Christ. So they died before Christ was born. So when you look at the totality of everything, you have to see how their mindset were. They believe and they move based upon what Yah said, and everything Yah said, they believe it all the way up to the time frame they died. They all died in faith, believing Yah that every word that he had spoken was going to come to pass, whether they was alive to see it or not. That's how we live by faith. We live by faith, and we have the mindset that when Yah says something, it's going to be exactly the way he said it. Whether I see it and experience it, as Noah experienced the rain, as Sarah experienced having a child, whether I see it or if I die, just like them not seeing Christ, know that I have faith in him and what he has done for me, and he died for my sin, and I got faith now, never having received, I'm talking from their standpoint, because Christ hadn't come yet. They all died in faith, never receiving the promise. So that's how we have to see, verse 13. Now, these all died in faith. Okay? So I'm going to take not having received the promise out so we can see what the scripture is really saying now. These all died in faith, but haven't seen them afar off. There were things that they saw afar off. And so they died in faith believing Christ. They died in faith. Abraham lived in those tents. But he died in faith knowing that his descendants was going to dwell in that land. He died knowing that his descendants was going to was not only going to dwell in that land, but going to live peacefully in that land. Because when you go back, I'll pull it up here where we can look at it now. We'll go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, verse 13. We've looked at this in several lessons. After the covenant based on us has been made with our father Abraham. We look at Genesis 15, verse 13. It says, Yah speaks to Abram, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not there, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. Verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. He's speaking this to Abram. In Genesis 15, and Abram is believing every word. He didn't see us scattered all over the world. He didn't see us scattered, you know, us that are here in America. He didn't see us go into captivity and be scattered here in America. But he believed every word of it, every word that God spoke to him. He died in faith, knowing that his seed was going to be taken in captivity and scattered all over the world. And after 400 years of them being scattered all over the world, they were going to be afflicted. But after 400 years, those nations was going to be judged. And afterwards, his seed was coming back to their homeland. And he said, but you're going to die at a good old age. So Abram never saw any of that. But yet he trusted what God said. He trusted so much in what God said that when you get over in Hebrews chapter 7, that his sons are talking about the same thing, because he passed that from generation to generation down to his seed, to the point to where all of the children of Israel during that time before we were scattered and lost our identity, all of them knew that one day our nation was going to go into captivity for 400 years, and then afterwards we were going to come back with great substance. All of them knew. How did they know? Our father Abraham had so much faith in what y'all said, he passed it down to his descendants. We got to put that much faith in y'all. Everything that Yah has said is going to come to pass exactly the way he said it. Now, when you look at it from that standpoint, that should take a whole lot of pressure off of us. God's the one who said he's going to do certain things as far as his ministry is concerned. I don't have to be under pressure. You don't have to be under pressure to try to figure out, you know, how this is going to get done. God has decreed it. All we have to do is continue to move forward and live by faith and watch him bring everything to pass. Now, from a standpoint of speaking from the same perspective of faith as my father Abraham, I don't have to see to know it's still going to come to pass. I'm seeing it afar off. I see it in the world to come, whether I'm still existing and walking in that world to come. You remember as we dealt with worlds? You know, back in the 60s, that was a world. Back in Abraham's time, that was a world. Back in the 1800s, that was a world. So that's when you look at the word world, that we dealt with that. So in the world to come, whether I'm in it or not, I know everything that y'all has said about this ministry is going to come to pass. I'm just saying that from a perspective of praying about and understanding of where our faith should be. I know there are some things that I have to do. And now you understand why I make statements. If y'all recall some things that I'll say at times, sometimes I'll make statements, I'll be like, I ain't got time to die. I got too much stuff to do. I make those statements because I have faith in knowing and understanding what God has created me to be, what I've been born to be. And I know that I have to be everything that God has decreed in my life to be. So I have so much faith in that to the point to where I'm willing to make a bold statement that I don't have time to die because I got stuff to do. So that's not an arrogant statement. That's a statement of faith, knowing that God has decreed something to me and it's going to become exactly the way that he said it's going to be. You got to have that much confidence in y'all too. We have to have that much confidence in y'all. To know that if he decreed it, no matter how it looks, no matter how crazy it gets, no matter how frustrated it is, you know, frustration kick in, no matter how weary we get and we're doing, no matter what takes place, y'all has said it's going to take place. We have a word from the eternal God who has created all things, and he has given us a decree. Guess what? It's going to be exactly the way that he said it's going to be. What is my proof? I can look up and see the sun and know that it's proof enough that y'all going to do what he said he's going to do. Because I can go back into the time of old and look at it in Genesis where he said, let there be light, and there was light. And he called the great light, the sun, day. You know, he called the greater light to rule the day, which is the sun, and the lesser night the rule of night, which is the moon. And he made the stars also. So anytime I get a little bit discouraged, I can go outside and look at the sun or the moon and the stars and know that God is going to do everything that he said he's going to do. Because my proof is I'm looking at what he spoke in Genesis chapter 1. That's the kind of confidence we got to have in y'all. He's going to do exactly what he says, regardless of how it looks. Okay? Now, so as we see down in Genesis 15, that's the type of faith our father Abraham had, and that's why he had this mindset. That's why verse 13 says that now. These all, Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. See, I know, and I can make the same confession, that I'm just a stranger here on earth, because I know I'm a part of the eternal kingdom. I know I'm led by the Spirit of Yah, therefore I'm a son of Yah. I know I'm an heir to the throne. I'm an heir of righteousness. Okay? I know I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I know that I rule and reign in Christ. That's why I walk around as a king. I understand who I am by faith. I encourage each one of you to do the same thing. Okay? Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. See, that's why it says, for without faith is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Okay, so it points out that their mindset was so much trusting in what Yah said, that they weren't caught up into where they came from. They wasn't caught up into life to the point where they did things based upon their past experiences. Because the scripture points out that if their mindset had been to the point where they were mindful of where they came from, they wouldn't go forward to be what Yah had, you know, everything that Yah had called them to be based upon what he had spoken. That's something we all should hear now. We should all hear that now. We can't become what Yah has said. We too caught up into what we've been. Or where we've been, what we've been, or where we've been. We can't judge our future based upon our past experiences. I can't turn around and say, well, since life was like this, then I can't move forward because I remember what happened when I made a decision. Back then, and so if I make a decision, I'm going to end up in the same circumstance again. No, if God spoke it to you, you have to know that your destiny is different now. You have an eternal God who has spoken in your life. You know, back then, you know, we were all crazy, making crazy decisions and falling on our face as a result of it. Now, since God has spoke that thing to you, now, you don't have to now go back. You don't have to renege on what's been said. And that's what it's referring to when it talks about all of our family members, especially from a perspective of faith. It says, verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out. If Abraham had been mindful of his 10 people in Genesis 12, I'm going to go there just to show you. What would have happened if Abraham would have been mindful of this place? Genesis, I started verse 12. Genesis chapter 12, left portion of the screen. It says, Now, Yah had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What if Abraham had been caught up into his family? Verse 1, no, I can't leave him. I can't leave my kindred. Man, everything is comfortable over here. I can't do that. What if Abraham had that mindset? And that's what, when you look at now Hebrews 11, verse 15 now. Was it 15? Yeah. Verse 15, it says, and to the right of the screen, it says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. If Abraham, now let's look at the word mindful to help us with this. Verse 15, when you look at the word mindful, it means to remember. but it's from a revelation that brings about the wrong result, a punishment. Okay? It shows that when we are mindful about our past to the perspective to where it hinders us from being what God has called us to be, that is like a form of punishment. That's torture. Okay? And so it points out that when Abraham was given the information, look at what it says in verse 4. So Abram departed. Abram just said, wait a minute. Let me think about this. Man, I'm going to leave my country, verse 1. I'm going to leave my kindred. I'm going to even leave my father's house, man. Let me think about this. I don't want to do it. No, you see that Abram was like, hey, I'm out. So Abram departed, and Yah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he parted out of Haran. Abram was 75 years old. He was like, look, man, Yah told me to go. I am moving. I'm not trying to figure out. As we look at it, you know, we see it here, he left in Genesis chapter 12, but Hebrews 11 told us earlier that he went not knowing where he was going. He just left. That's how we got to walk by faith now. Okay? When y'all speak, we move. You have something else? Okay. Verse 16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, see? And heavenly. Wherefore Yah is not ashamed to be called their God. For he is prepared for them a city. We read about it, the Jerusalem. Revelation 21. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He was willing to kill Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. That was his only son. Yah had told him, your seed is going to be like stars. Look at the sand on the seashore. Your seed, that's what your seed is going to be. See, of 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that Yah was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Can you imagine this, that a man is willing to kill his son and have so much confidence in what Yah said that he was willing to carry out and believe that if it had happened, Yah was going to raise him from the dead. That's how much confidence he had in what Yah said. Yah said that this boy is going to be the heir of the promise, that your children was going to come from this boy, Isaac. Abraham had so much confidence in what Yah said that when Yah told him to kill his only son, he was willing to do it because he said, if I do this, God has to raise him up from the dead because I remember what he said to me before that. That's faith. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith. He didn't see it. By faith. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning up on the top of his staff. These men were blessed. So when you look at when it says these all died in faith, you're looking at these examples now where they died in faith. They had received some things based upon what God had said. Sarah, she got to see Isaac. But now he's showing you the example of those who died based upon trusting something that Yah had said to the point where they spoke things and they never saw it physically come to pass themselves. These all died in faith. Whether they experienced that promise or they did not, didn't change their faith in it. But you know how the church is now. What I mean by the church, I'm talking about the mindset of Christians. Their testimony is only based upon what they see. And so when they see it, they're ready to testify about it. And then they call that, I walk by faith. No, if y'all speak something to me, I'll stand up and tell it beforehand. I rejoice beforehand. there's some things y'all spoke to me about the project. As soon as he spoke to me, I started to rejoice right then, because I knew that what God had decreed, it had to come to pass. It was the same as my father. It was a done deal. It's coming to pass. God decreed it. He said it about the project. As soon as he did, I started to rejoice the same way my father Jacob did. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons and worshiped. Leaning on the top of his staff, he was of old age, he was leaning on the top of his staff, but he was still worshiping God because he knew everything that was said was going to come to pass, to the point where he rejoiced in it, never seeing it from his physical perspective. He died before it ever came to pass, but yet he rejoiced ahead of time. That's faith. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Here it is now. Our father Joseph, who was taken as a slave into Egypt, became basically second in charge in Egypt, to the point to where our nation moved to Egypt and lived in the land of Goshen. And Joseph had so much faith that he spoke about our nation coming out of Egypt, and then said, when you come out, bring my bones with you. Don't leave my bones there. I know you're coming out. And when you come out, bring my bones with you. That's faith. He didn't see him bring his bones out. He was dead. But yet he spoke it, and he trusted in what God had said, to the point where he had so much confidence, he said, y'all coming out. When you come out now, this was before they went into slavery. This was when everything was going well. He spoke that. Okay, you're gonna leave here. When you do, take my bones with you. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, they mentioned of the departing of the children of Israel. And gave commandment concerning his bones. That's what he was talking about. As a matter of fact, I'll just do a cross reference here, just to show you where he made that statement. It's Genesis 50, verse 24 and 25. I'm gonna put it up here to show you that he was that confident in what Yah was going to do concerning bringing our nation up out of Egypt. Just 50 verse 24 and 25. This is the confirmation, Hebrews 11, verse 22. Genesis 50, verse 24 says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and Yah will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from him. Verse 26 says, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Okay? Because your Egyptians believed in embalming. Our nation didn't do it. But yet they brought his bones up out of there, just like Joseph had decreed that would take place. He decreed that Yah would visit our nation, and that they would be brought up out of Egypt, and when they did, to bring his bones up out of there. That's faith, y'all. To be able to speak those things and know it's going to be exactly the way Yah said it. Now, this came up in my spirit, and I'm going to bring it up again, because y'all remember. As I bring it up, you probably, you most likely remember me saying it. I had made a statement that it's going to come a day where there is going to be a black spot on the moon, and Yah told me to write it and to send it and to send it to so that people would be able to witness it or verify as a witness that God had me to speak it. Now, once I made that decree, God told me to make that decree. I am under no pressure. I'm not walking around looking at the moon trying to figure out if it's going to really happen. I can tell that. All I know is God told me to say it. He told me to write it down. I have done what he told me to do, and I don't have to see it come to pass. It can be 100 years from now. I guarantee you're going to see a black spot on the moon. Whoever that you is when that time frame comes, whether that's us who will see it with our physical eyes or in another world. I have no concern. I just spoke what y'all told me to see. I don't put a time frame on what y'all think. When he tell me to speak it, I speak it. So I don't need to show proof of that from a perspective of pleasing me. Y'all spoke it. He told me to say it. He told me to write it down. I did it. I can care less from that point on. What I mean by care less, meaning that I am not concerned. I don't have anxiety about it. I don't look up at the moon and say, well, is this the night? I care less. I know y'all said it. It's going to be exactly the way he said it. I have faith in that, in what he said. Okay? So you look at these things, you're seeing our forefathers operate within this perspective of faith. We have to do the same thing. To the point that when we speak things, generations and generations ahead of time, if it's necessary, and still know that it's going to come to pass, although we may die in faith and not physically see it. Okay. Now, verse 23 said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was he at 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. His commandment was to kill all the boys. You're still seeing that same type of Pharaoh system that want to kill all the Hebrew boys to this day. Well, you see a lot of us, Hebrews or Israelites, that are being killed out in the streets and different things like that today. You're still seeing some things that's being carried out. You know, some of it is because of our disobedience, but at the same time, you have wickedness that's operating too. Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses turned it down. Moses had all the opportunity. Moses was in position to be Pharaoh. He was the grandson of Pharaoh. Not literally, but because, you know, Pharaoh probably having so many children and different things like that, and Moses being his grandson. The man didn't even know Moses was his grandson. That's another thing that proved the physical appearance of the Hebrews. You know, Moses not only, Joseph not only fooled his brothers being Hebrews, thinking he was an Egyptian, but you look at Moses now being a Hebrew, and the Pharaoh didn't even know that he was Egyptian. They look alike in physical appearance. Okay? You know, ancient Egyptian. Okay? Now, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yah, than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. That was the pleasure of sin for a season, what was going on with Pharaoh's house. Verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew the Messiah was coming. Okay. He knew it to the point where he was like, I don't care about the riches of Egypt, his material wealth. Our father Abraham had the same mindset. That's the reason why, you know, some of these city officials have issues with me, because they can't offer me material. They can't offer me Egypt's riches. They can't offer the riches of this world to cause me to sell out and to live in sin for a season. They can't get me on the same page with them. because I know that through Christ there's a greater kingdom coming. So there's nothing they can offer me that is greater than what I know I got coming in the future. So they can't get me to sell out. Every time they get to talk about this little material stuff, you know, all these millions or whatever they're trying to offer, project funds and millions of dollars and all this other stuff and all this earthly recognition, that's why I always turn it down, because I know there's something greater in Christ that's coming that this world can't even touch. Like my father Abraham, I'm looking for a city that's not made with the hands of men. They can't offer me nothing more valuable. So our father Moses understood that to the point where he was saying, man, I see all this wonderful stuff in Egypt, and I'm the grandson of Pharaoh. I can have every privilege concerning, you know, I can have every privilege as a grandson of a Pharaoh. I don't want it. I choose to be reproached the same way as my future Savior that's coming, knowing that the treasure of Egypt cannot prepare to the reward that I got coming. I at least enjoy this sin for a season. But you have some men who rather enjoy the sin for a season than the eternal blessing of Yah. Man, please. I ain't gonna be able to do it. You know, we were talking about that a little bit on yesterday. Well, they're not going to be able to do it. You get some people that enjoy this little old 20 years. You know, you get some people say, you know, the thing that these secret societies and things like that, they said people sell their souls, you know, for riches, for, you know, for their lifetime here on earth. 20, 30 years or whatever, 40 years, however they do it. And so they make these oaths and these agreements to live in sin for a season, and don't realize that little 40 or 50 year lifespan that they had of all that enjoyment cannot compare to the eternal life of the kingdom with joy. Can you imagine trading in this carnal world, trading in all the things, the possession, the riches of this world, trading that in for an eternal kingdom to live in New Jerusalem for the rest of your eternal life? But you get to some people who are willing to sell it out for a little 30 or 40 year pleasure of being here on earth. That's great. That's a reprobate mind. That's a mind that's been severed to not be able to discern between good and evil.
Even
if it was
100, 200 years.
200 years. Still ain't over. Can't compare. You're right. That's why we always stand for Yah, no matter what. That's why I tell them in a minute, anytime they sit down with me, I tell them, look, man, I got to see Yah. If I can't see the eternal kingdom of Yah when I'm sitting at the table with you, I'm going to get up from the table and run as far away from you and as fast as I can, because there is a kingdom that I long for that is not made with the hands of men, and that's the hands of men, and that's where I want to live in the future. I want this pleasure of sin for a season. Alright? Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Don't be fearing what man can do to you. There are some preachers who are like that. They call themselves men of God, and yet they fear what man can do for them. Do to them, and so they get up in front of TV cameras and they say things that they know that's not true. All because they have fear of what man can do. They have fear of what a Pharaoh can do. Man, please. I want to stand for y'all. I'm not concerned about what man can do to this physical body. I'm concerned about the one who can both destroy me physically and eternally. That's what I'm going to stand for. Alright. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing himself who is invisible. As seeing him who is invisible. He endured because he knew that who he lived for was far greater than the king that he was being fitted. So I'm a prisoner man, because I know the eternal Yah is far greater than that man that is standing in front of me. I can't help but to walk around, you know, walk around the way that I do, because I understand the kingdom. You can't help but to be the way that you are because you understand the kingdom. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkle of blood, lest he should destroy, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. Yah told him, he said, I'm coming through. I'm killing all the firstborn. Put blood on the door. Keep the Passover. That's what the Passover is about. You notice they do Passover or Easter, they call it now. They make Easter about Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and things like that. But to our nation, Easter, which is really Passover, you know, I don't even want to say Easter, but I'm just saying, which is really, I'm just connected, which is really Passover, was about the sprinkling the blood over the door to protect our nation from the firstborn dying. That's the celebration of Passover. That's what Passover really is. That's what Easter, the Christian Easter, should be the celebration of. So now you know why we don't do it. Celebrate no bunny and no rabbit. I'm just saying, no bunny and no egg and all this here. No Easter egg hunting and all that stuff. Because it says, oh, well, it just don't mean nothing. Yeah, it means something. It's idol worship. That's what it is. Because we're supposed to be celebrating that verse right there. Remembering the time when we were brought up out of Egypt. That's what Passover is about. That's why verse 28 says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he should, he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And they put that blood over the door when that angel, so to speak, came through and was killing all the firstborns of Egypt. Firstborn of Egypt, he didn't kill anyone in our nation because they honored and did what Yah told them to do. Spring of blood open the door for them. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. So when they went to the threat, you know how they show the movie? what's that new movie that just came out? What was that movie that just came out when it about when the nation went through? I can't remember what the name of it is, but when they showed them going through the Red Sea, you know how they showed the water just kind of trickling backwards and allowed them to pass over like the tide was going out. No, the Bible said the sea parted, it congealed. Meaning that when they walked through, it was dry ground, and when they looked to the right and to the left, it was ice. That's what congealed means. It was frozen. Wasn't no water flowing back like the tide was going out. Folks don't know what they're talking about. They don't read the Bible. They make up their own stories, then have people mind all jacked up thinking that's how it really happened. No, 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. It was dry. It wasn't in the mud. Wasn't the water filled up. It was dry ground. It was like a highway. Which the Egyptians had said to do was drown. The Egyptians came, tried to go through the same path and ended up drowning. So it lets you know it wasn't no tide that slowly went out. No, that water was a wall. Congealed, solid as ice, and when our nation came through, and those Egyptians tried to follow them through there on that dry ground, that water came down on top of them and drowned them all. Matter of fact, you can Google it in the Red Sea. You can see the wheels of chariots still down there on the Red Sea. Chariot wheels. It happened, people. See a bunch of chariot wheels down inside at the Red Sea. what it actually did drown those, that army in the chariots is still down there to this day. God's word is truth. Okay? Verse 30. Let's see what time it is. I'll go ahead and stop after verse 30. Verse 30 said, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Yah told them exactly what to do, and they did it. And that was, and the walls of Jericho fell. We'll stop at that. We'll pick up at verse 30 and continue on. I'll continue on because it's going to take us into chapter 12, because that's some valid important information after looking at all these examples that we've looked at. Okay? Any questions or comments? We good? Okay. All right. Let's stop. Father, y'all, we bless you again on this training school evening as we've come into even another fashion of understanding concerning faith. We just thank you, Yah, that you're creating the children of the Most High, Yah, to be everything that you call us to be, and to have the confidence that if you said it, since you said it, it will be exactly the way that you decreed. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.